Your SteveJonesShow.com podcast audio is loading now. Today's SteveJonesShow.com podcast audio is sponsored by Purdy Insurance, Market Street, Sunbury, and online at PurdyInsurance.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome. Great to have you with us on this Monday. Brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. You can go to PurdyInsurance.com. Here from the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Keywords 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Joined by the head basketball coach, Dave Paulson. Dave, welcome. Great to have you with us. And a couple days ahead of time, Happy New Year to you and yours.
Hey, thanks, Steve. Great to be on, and Happy New Year to you and everyone who is listening.
Dave, let's get an evaluation of your basketball team. Where do you feel you've made progress to this point? And to be good in the Patriot, where do you need to be better?
Well, you know, that's a great question, Steve, because it makes me have some balance. You know, we're coming off of two disappointing losses where we haven't played well. If you look at the whole non-conference in 11 games, you know, where we've done really well, you know, we're shooting the ball from three-point line really well. I think we're like 11th in the country in percentage. We're 12th in the country in free throw percentage. You know, for being undersized, and this wasn't accurate against Fairfield, but we're still 9th in the country in defensive rebounding percentage. So we've been good at that. What we haven't been good at is scoring from two-point range getting on the offensive glass and getting to the foul line. And part of that's a product of playing with four guards. So we have to find a way to get easier baskets. And then the biggest problem for us right now is when we've had some cold spells offensively, we've let that impact our defense. And we have to improve on the defensive end.
You made an interesting point about the two-point percentage. It's rarely talked about. But part of two-point percentage is also dealing with more traffic issues. Has size played into part of that, Dave, that the traffic issues and the size combined have not helped?
Well, you know, to some degree, yes. Now, we played Fairfield on, 2 days ago, Saturday. We missed 8 layups.
Yeah.
Yeah. 3 or 4 were kind of bothered with size. 4 layups were point-blank layups, layups that your 5th and 6th grade team practices. You know, we make 4 layups, and those are all in the first half. We go up at halftime up 8, you know, miss some open shots, but you're up 8, and it's a whole different game. So some of it is size, but a lot of it is just, you know, inconsistency. And obviously you saw us against Penn State at, you know, maybe our peak offensive time. But all preseason, all season of practice, we've just had guys who struggle to play well day after day after day. Cameron Ayers being an exception, obviously. But so that's just building consistency. And a lot of times it might not necessarily be young guys. Brian Fitzpatrick's a fifth-year senior, but it's guys who are going from playing 8 minutes a game or 10 minutes a game to now having to lead us in scoring. And we just have to develop more consistency.
Did you rush a little bit on some of those, and do they need to just relax? Sometimes a guy tries to, you know, it may be a layup, but sometimes a guy tries to turn it into an 8-point play. And you and I both know it's a 2-point play.
Well, in some cases it's that, you know, but a lot of them were just layups, and you know, maybe they're missing, you know, they're rushing a little bit. You know, it's interesting, Steve. I think less experienced teams sometimes play with more pressure on them when they're at home than when they're on the road. You know, and to some degree, we need to have a little bit of success at home. Because these guys want so badly to do so well. But I think, you know, when you play on the road or you play against a high major team, you play with a chip on your shoulder. And I think at times we played a little bit with a weight on our shoulder in some of our home games. And we just need to learn how to really play hard and aggressively and yet also in a relaxed state. And that's just, you know, you can't really replicate that except for through pressurized game situations. So hopefully, you know, we've played a really good schedule. We've played a variety of styles against a variety of styles. And hopefully all that will prepare us for what really matters, and that's starting Thursday night Patriot League play.
You've held, I mean, defense is so important to you, Dave. You mentioned, you know, there are a couple times maybe an offense affects a defense. Yet you've held eight of your opponents under 70 points in a season where there's been a lot of scoring from Maine to California. Has your defense held you in games?
Well, you know, at times. You know, like our defense in the first half against Fairfield was very good. But then just a couple of missed layups, missed shots became demoralizing. You know, I wouldn't say that that's accurate, Steve, because we don't play at a particularly fast tempo.
Okay.
So
yep.
So the points allowed are probably aren't indicative. Our field goal percentage defense, that's what I look at first. It's at 43%. You know, last year and the year before, we had about 39%. And for every percentage point that goes down, you're basically saving yourself, you know, 1.5, 2 points. So if we could just get it down to around 40, you know, that would buy us 5 or 6 points defensively a game. And then you're talking about being pretty darn good. And that's all it is one or two more stops in a game or in a half. And that we just got to build that collective mentality.
And it really is, and that's what's something that a lot of people don't understand. There is such a fine line where if you swing two possessions your way, it changes everything.
No question about that. You know, we had a couple of, you know, we were starting to play well on Saturday. A couple possessions, ball goes in and out, wide open three, a missed layup. Maybe they hit a tough shot that they hadn't made the last game. And all of a sudden, that's a 7-point swing. And, you know, when you don't have the bailout guy that we had the last couple of years in a Muscala, you can't have those 7-0 swings.
How do you like to handle, Dave, this time of the year where they don't have classes and it's only Dave Paulson in basketball?
Well, you know, I think it's good. I think it's good. Any point in the season or any type of team you have, but I think it's really important for our team. Probably spend a little more time working individually with guys than maybe what we did last year with a really veteran team. But also, it's a chance for maybe to get a lift in or a workout in the morning, practice in the afternoon, have the team go to dinner at night, some bonding, just some, if you're talking about basketball with your teammates or you're talking about Anchorman 2 with your teammates, it doesn't really matter. You know, it's just, you're communicating at a level that, you know, with the rigors of the academic semester, you just can't always do. And so I just think any time that they're together in a less pressurized environment, I think it's a chance to get closer as a team.
I'm glad they're watching Anchorman 2. I haven't had a chance yet, so.
No, I haven't seen it either, but I'll get there.
Yes, I will too. You got American coming in, and there's a team that has had its ups and downs, but it does include them coming off a win. What's the impression that you're getting of them at this stage?
So I think they're like a lot of us out there now. When they're playing well, when they're operating a comfort zone, they're very, very dangerous. And then they have been prone, as have we, to bouts of inconsistency. So a part of it is us being able to really dictate pace and tempo and defensive energy. But, you know, they run the Princeton system. Mike Brennan was a great guard at Princeton and a longtime assistant there and at Georgetown. You know, so they're very well drilled offensively, and they're adapting in his new first year And, you know, not only a win last night, but, you know, they took Ohio State down to the wire, right, which not too many teams have.
No.
So they're very, very capable.
One thing against usually, not always, but usually a Princeton system eats up a fair amount of time on offense. Time of possession actually means something. When I've watched it played, I've always felt that patience on your offense is important, that you don't go, oh, good, we finally got the ball, here's the first good shot. Do you preach right. that with them?
There's no question about it, you know, because and like we won a good game against Columbia, which plays the same system.
Yep.
And we lost the game to Princeton, which is a good team, you know, but where we really struggle on offense, and I think part of that is because we, you know, guarded, and we guarded really, really well, again, for the vast majority of the game, but then didn't score on offense, and partially because playing so hard defensively for so long took a little bit out of us. So, you know, the good news is that we've now played against, you know, elements of that system a couple of times already, and hopefully we'll, you know, we'll just be a little bit more veteran and experienced in terms of combating that and being able to make certain that we go down and get a good shot on our end.
Dave, wish you nothing but the best of luck on Thursday when you have American and the Patriot opener. Now for you, I mean, the season's the season, but the real season gets going. We wish you nothing but the best of luck.
Thanks so much, Dave.
Dave Paulson, always an absolute pleasure for me to talk with him. Bob Buhner and I come back with more in a moment. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
The clock is ticking and everyone's counting it down.
But the new year is already here
at Sunbury Motors Kia. Sunbury Motors Kia has 65 2014 models clearly marked and sale price to ring out 2013 by selling 30 cars in 5 days. Starting with 2014 Serenos at $22,505. How about $4,000 off the 40 MPG Highway 2013 Optima Hybrid and $5,000 off the sexy new luxury car, the 2014 Cadenza? Or how about the totally transformed 2014 Soul starting at $14,995 and with 0% APR financing for up to 60 months available on certain models plus Kia's 10-year 100,000-mile limited warranty, these cars are sure to fly off the lot. But you need to hurry in and get your new Kia before time runs out at Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip in Hummel's Wharf and at sunburymotors.com.
Tax and tax extra must qualify. Specialty incentives apply. Special financing and bonus cash to well-qualified customers who can and may affect final price.
Hi, this is Susan Purdy. For over 85 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. Our trained and knowledgeable staff has centuries of experience, so rest assured your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 286-5855, check us out online at purdyinsurance.com, or visit us on Facebook to see what we can do for you.
No. Should I stay or should I go? If you say that you are mine.
Ole Miss, by the way, leads Georgia Tech 13-7 in the Music City Bowl.
Great bumper
Steve
music,
Jones,
by
Bob
the way.
Buhner. Yeah. You know, we have not heard from him at all. Now, Doug from Wellsboro, when he called, made an interesting point. He says, look, you should say something. He said, David Shaw said something. One thing about David Shaw's situation at Stanford is this. David Shaw inherited an idyllic situation at Stanford. He inherited a situation from Jim Harbaugh that was already had risen to at or near the top of the Pac-12, and David Shaw inherited a great situation. Bill O'Brien inherited a situation that nobody in the history of college football has inherited. Now, he inherited some good talent. Let's not make it seem like he didn't walk into something where he didn't already have the Michael Mottis and Gerald Hodges and Allen Robinsons of the world. I mean, he didn't recruit those players. He had to re-recruit them to stay at Penn State. But at the same time, he walked into a situation that had a fifth-year quarterback in Matt McGloin, had a pretty good offensive line led by Matt Stankavich. You know, had the previous staff had recruited Jesse James, had already had Matt Lehman coming in, had recruited Allen Robinson and so forth, and Michael Motti and Jordan Hill and so forth. So he inherited that talent. There is always something to be said for you convincing that talent that they're part of your program right away, which Bill has done. And brilliantly did, by the way. And made them work hard with an us-against-the-world mentality. But at the same time, with the sanctions coming down, limiting what he could do recruiting, taking away a bowl game, allowing players to have a free year of transfer, and actually it was longer than a year.
Went from July
24th to August 5th. So you're talking about, 54 weeks of free transfer. Okay, and all those things that add up, he has had to work in his 2 years in a far different atmosphere than David Shaw has had to work in Stanford. In the same time, Penn State also almost doubles the amount of attendance that Stanford gets, which is a real testimony to the fans here in Pennsylvania. I really would love to see Bill O'Brien with a full shot here with all the recruits, full-blown budget facilities, the whole thing, and also at the same time with the ability to play in a Big Ten championship game and the ability to play in a bowl game. I think that's something that really could be a special era of Penn State football if he decided that this is still the avenue he wants to pursue. Now, I have not texted him, all right? And I have not received a text in return. Now, last year when all this went through, finally we did exchange something, and that way I knew exactly what was going on. That's how we ended up getting him on the show. Now, there are points where, as part reporter, you want to know. Part friend, you want to stay out of it. Okay? I'm staying out of it. Right? And I just know that what I have found interesting is that what it may still be, what has appeared to have been a done deal now for, 72 hours, Bob?
It's more like 48, Saturday night.
Yeah.
Is when it really started to be, a done deal with the Texans.
How come we haven't heard anything?
Well, I think it's because Bill's in the witness protection program. That's my own theory, but I could be wrong. But I think he wisely is staying silent. And he's obviously thought this out.
There are a lot of things that he has to talk to Colleen about. All right?
Sure.
And that's what they have to discuss. They have to discuss, a lot of things.
Well, but
he knows what he has in his football program here. Okay, he knows that. He knows what he has coming back. He knows what he's recruited. I think Penn State has 19 verbals now.
The thing that really gets baffling, Steve, is he had a recruit give a verbal commitment on Saturday morning. And I know you can't talk about it. Let's just say he's a rather large offensive lineman who was sought after. And on a Saturday morning in the midst of all this, the young gentleman announces he's plans to come to Penn State. So how did that happen if he's, if Bill O'Brien's moving on? These are very baffling things.
There have been a lot of twists and turns in this, which have been interesting.
Yeah.
And it's, again, I mean, do I have the ability, do I have Bill's number, his cell number? Can I of course I do.
Sure.
And of course I can, but I haven't because I think that's the best route to take at the moment. Randy in Danville. Hi, Randy. Thanks for waiting.
Hey, Steve. How are you?
I'm doing well. Randy, how are you?
Okay. Steve, got a couple of concerns. One, I'm not sure that Bill O'Brien is committed to the program. It's like the girlfriend, the NFL, that he left, and now he's missing it for 2 years in a row. I think Joyner needs to put his big boy pants on and sit down with this guy who's new at this game. He's new at being a head coach. He's not as dedicated to the program and the loyalty to the program as his recruits and his players. I don't think we gave enough credit to the outstanding dedication and loyalty of these young men over the last 2.5 years to the program. Every time they talk about winning, it's Bill did this, Bill got Coach of the Year, and that's great. He's done a great job. But at some point, having been in business, if I find out an employee, a key employee, has decided that he wants to look around and then look around again, get some more money, and then look around again, it's time to sit him down and say, you're either here or you're not here. This program will succeed without Bill O'Brien. People need to get that into their heads and into their hearts.
The reason, Randy, and I think it's important...
You can't talk about it, Steve, because you work with the guy.
Yeah, but you know what? Here's the reason I would like him to stay, Randy, because I think continuity becomes very important.
Yep.
And I think having what will be now 1, 2, 3, say he left 4 coaches in a 3-year span, is something that, you know, is not good for the continuity of any program. I think you need to have somebody that you hope is there for 10 years. How about that, Randy?
Yep.
Yeah, go ahead, Randy.
Yeah, it would be great, but I don't know how you get to fit every year he changes the deep set.
Well, let's just see what kind of decision he makes first.
Yeah, but what about these boots out there? These young men that are Hackenbergs and all these guys that are sitting there wanting to play football and wanting to play for Bill O'Brien, and they don't know if he's committed to them like they are to him.
Well, you bring up interesting questions, but again, we don't know what conversation he's had with them and vice versa. I think there's a lot that we don't know yet. But I think we need to find out first before we can properly comment. How about that?
Hey.
Randy, thanks. We have to go to the news, Randy.
Okay, take care.
Thanks, buddy. Brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street, and Sunbury. News with Ali Stevens is next. Welcome back. Great to have you with us. Now, we talked a little bit about Ken Wisenhunt. Part of it's going to be whether or not the Chargers allow Ken Wisenhunt to interview for the job. They've made the playoffs. They're in.
And remember when Bill O'Brien was coming to Penn State, he went back with the New England Patriots because they had some playoff games that he couldn't, you know, start his coaching even when he had committed to come here. So that's kind of the norm in the NFL for obvious reasons.
Actually, I was in Bill's office with him when he was preparing for the Super Bowl. And he was working all these hours getting ready, recruiting for Penn State and getting that part, his staff and so forth, while also splitting some time and working on the Giants. And I remember when I was in his office one day, he had a big screen TV up next to his desk. And it was the game that Patriots and Giants had played earlier in the season. I think they played in October of that year, and he was going through that tape at that particular time. So he was splitting at that time. Now, the Chargers will take on the Cincinnati Bengals this week. So his ability, I don't think he can be interviewed this week by the Texans, so he may be off the board for them. ESPN, by the way, the SEC network,
yes,
has hired Tim Tebow as a studio analyst.
I guess he's got to do something with his spare time. Apparently, the NFL is not beckoning.
He's got spare cash too, so he's got a lot of spare cash. But I mean, this will help him out. But this is what this is where we are. Again, we're just waiting to see what happens with this one way or the other. And I understand why people are upset.
Oh yeah.
Because look, we're only 2 years into this thing. And I think the hope was is that he wasn't going to be here 46 years like Joe. Okay. But I think people were hoping that he would be here 8, 9, 10 years and lend some stability to the program because he'd already stabilized the situation at hand. And Now, with these, with the sanctions being reduced, I think a bowl game is a distinct possibility next year if they can win six games. That you're going to have somebody that, you know, that I think, look, Bill had set himself up here as a long-term solution. How about that?
As a
long-term solution. And now the question is whether, you know, wrestling back and forth. Remember, Joe took the Patriots job. Joe accepted it.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, he was going to take the Patriots job. And when he woke up the next morning, because he said, I think he said something to Sue like, you know, he says, well, you're going to bed with a millionaire. Right? Right? And then, of course, the next morning woke up and decided he was going to stay at Penn State. All right? So this, you know, so let's just see how this plays out. They're not the same guy.
No.
We know that. Everybody's different. We all have different goals and aspirations. And in the end, even if there is an offer on the table, it's up to him as to whether he wants to take it or stay. And that's going to be his personal choice as to what he does. I mean, number one, an offer has to be on the table. It seems like everybody is feeling that, you know, he is the overwhelming favorite. Now, Detroit today fired Jim Schwartz. Greg Schiano was fired at Tampa Bay. Mike Shanahan was fired by the Redskins. Leslie Frazier was fired by the Vikings. And Rob Jedzinski was fired last night by the Browns. Okay, so there are other openings as well, but it's the Texans one which has been, and they've had the ability to talk earlier than anybody else because they fired Gary Kubiak a few weeks ago.
Yeah. You know, the thought occurred to me with all these firings today that the national rate of unemployment is going to go up to about 7.6%.
Yes.
You know, because...
Yeah, Black Monday is Black Monday in
but
the
it's
NFL.
Not just,
no
you know, when you think about it, it's just not the head coach. I mean, there's going to be a lot of assistant coaches, and there's a ripple effect of all of this.
Oh, there's no question about it. There's a lot of people looking for jobs out of something like this. The video guy, the player, you know, there's a lot of different people. In Tampa Bay, it was a complete purge because they got rid of the general manager as well. Now, Lovie Smith, who's already interviewed for the Texans job, he's said to be a guy that Tampa Bay is very interested in hiring down there.
And Lovie Smith, I believe, is highly respected in the NFL. He did a fine job with the Bears, and there were just some disagreements. I think that Randy, who just called us right before the news at the bottom of the hour, he expressed the sentiment, Steve, of a lot of folks, though.
No question. He and Doug both. From Wellsboro, same thing.
And I'll tell you what my take on some of this is. I believe that Bill O'Brien is a checklist kind of guy. I think he sits down and he writes lists of things he wants to do, both short-term and also long-term. And he ticks them off. He's a methodical guy. I mean, that seems to be the way he coaches. He has a method to what he does, and he thinks things out. I don't think everything is checked off his Penn State bucket list just yet. I think this is causing him some pause, which may explain the silence that is going on right now. I think he's got some goals that he wants to achieve at Penn State, and I think he also knows that the NFL is not going anywhere for, say, the next 50 years. If it's going to be there in 2013-14, it'll be there in 2017-18. So I think he has some unfinished business, and I think that's what's causing him to ponder this. You know, I think I heard you interview him one time, and one of the questions that you asked was about him making a decision to go 4th-and-1 around midfield at a key point in the game, and he said basically he had about 4 or 5 seconds to make that decision. And he makes those decisions all the time. Well, that's a football decision, but making a huge decision that impacts his personal life takes a little bit longer than 4 seconds to think it through.
Well, there'll be a lot of considerations.
Absolutely.
And one thing that I want to point out, though, is that this is not about money. He's in the top 15 among coaches paid in college football, and he's never been a money guy anyway.
Steve, I've seen how he dresses. I know he's not a money guy.
when he was at, I guess he was at Duke, right? He left Duke and he took the Patriots job, right? And he took the Patriots job as, what the heck was that position? It wasn't player personnel director. It was, you know, as he said, it was glorified. He said he had the best copier in the building is what he had. That's what he joked about. He had the best copier in the building. And when he took that job, it was for a 50% pay cut.
Sure.
Okay? I mean, it was a 50% pay cut when he took that. And he is... So that part, I mean, he knows financially he's fine here. Okay? In his life here, they have a gorgeous home in Aspen Heights, okay, which is out in Bowlesburg. Gorgeous. It's an easy trip in and back and forth to work. I was asking him about it. I was asking him about his new car the other day, and I said, "How do you like your new car?" I'm not going to get into what he drives, okay? I said, "You know, how do you like your new car?" Because he had switched out, and he says, "God, I love this thing, Steve." He says, "This thing's great on gas." I said, "How good on gas is that?" He says. Took me 3 weeks between fill-ups on the car. You know, he said, so that's how, you know, but he's got that, you know, where he's close enough and it's easy and he's comfortable with the whole thing and financially is fine. Yeah. And he's done well enough financially to build, to buy a home on Cape Cod that he has always wanted. His parents already live in Harwich, okay, in Harwichport. You know, his parents live on the Nantucket side. Nantucket Sound side of Cape Cod. Bill loves on the bay side up in Dennis. There's a beautiful home, a second home. That's something he's always wanted. And he's got that now. There's certain things in life that he has. Michael's doing well in school here, is very popular, and is settled into youth programs and things like that. Now it doesn't mean he can't move and settle into something else. Colleen seems to have settled in really well and likes the neighborhood in which she lives, loves going back and forth to Cape Cod and so forth, and they enjoy that very much.
What is it, about a 10-minute commute from Bowlesburg into his office?
Oh, especially at the hour he comes in.
He's in. That traffic there on 322 or whatever it is, it just probably overwhelms the normal human driver.
4:35 a.m., I mean, it's a, you know... As I said to him once, I said, I know you probably miss 128, which is eight lanes of you know what around Boston. I said, here you have a rush minute. I said, that's what you have here is a rush minute.
Yeah.
And he has a quarterback that he really likes, and he's been working hard to make sure that Allen Robinson stays, and he's been working hard in the recruiting part of it. Now it's just going to be a question of where does he see himself?
Yeah.
Is this, you know, for one thing, you are talking about Bob McNair. Bob McNair is, and we had Mark Vandermeer on last year as the play-by-play voice of the Texans. And the reason I had Mark on is Mark used to work here in State College. And Mark has been very kind over the years to refer to me as a mentor of his. I mean, I'm like, really? I said, you should have been, if that's the case, I probably held you back from the NFL for 10 years. and so I had Mark on last year, and you could tell the respect that he has for Bob McNair. And Bob McNair, look, why is there a franchise in Houston and not in Los Angeles? Because when it came time for the 32nd NFL franchise, it was between Houston and L.A., and he got it done because he put his own money into a $700 million plus stadium with a retractable dome, while L.A. was just saying, hey, look, we're L.A., we'll play in the Rose Bowl for a couple of years, and then we'll build something. And he walked in prepared and set to go. He blew the NFL away. And everyone will tell you he's been one of the classiest owners to deal with. So you're talking to a guy in who appears on the surface to be very similar to the same cloth cut from Robert Kraft, you know, that's something to be considered as well. So these are the decisions that you have to grapple over. You know, he knows what he has here at Penn State. He's been recruiting hard here at Penn State to get players in because now he has a greater opportunity to do so. He has his franchise quarterback here. You know, I think, you know, he sticks around. I think his franchise wide receiver sticks around with him.
And there's a bunch
of things. Now, You know, they're going to change divisions next year, too. I mean, you know, there's going to be a change in division because you're not only going to have Ohio State in your division, you lose Wisconsin, but you're gaining Michigan and Michigan State. Now, competitively, that does make it a tougher task. It's better for the fans because you know every year they're going to be playing Ohio State, Michigan, and Michigan State along with Maryland. But still, competitively for the coach, it's a tougher task because the other division, no question, competitively is an easier look. So, I mean, there are a lot of things round and round he has to go about because he knows what he has at Penn State, and now he has to decide whether or not that if Houston does offer him a job, whether that's better for him long term and fulfills a goal and dream for him.
Well, it's going to be. I think the next 48 hours, Steve, will tell us. You know, and the other thing that's happening really soon is there's a bunch of kids coming to Penn State who are enrolling here in the spring semester that's not too far off.
No question about that. There'll be at least two others that are coming in early. Now, you have to remember, when it comes to the recruiting part of it, he's a critical part of the recruiting part of it. There's no question about that. What the head coach has to be is not only the salesman, but in the end, when it comes to and that's what the has to be. Has to be the closer, that you're able to sit there, look at a young man and his family and say, "This." Now, players pick schools for all different reasons. Head coach, NFL possibilities, engineering program, girlfriend goes there. You don't know. Yep. I mean, everything. I mean, you don't know exact science where if you use the same formula over and over again, it'll guarantee we get every one of these kids. No, you won't.
Nope. Doesn't happen.
Because you don't know. Yeah, you don't know what drives the guy. And actually, the head coach is the closer. The coach. Oh, but you. Really, really in the recruiting process, the current players.
Sure.
The current players are the ones that are usually your best recruiters because they can talk to them one-on-one or in a group and say, you know what, this is what it's like here.
Well.
And at the same time, if they get an impression of a guy they don't like, they can go to the head coach and they can tell the head coach, you know what, not our kind of guy. Happened a lot of times with Joe, where I met Michael Robinson in particular. A couple times he went to Joe and said, not our kind of guy. And Penn State didn't recruit a guy that ended up going someplace else and being really productive. The feeling among the current players was that was not the right fit for the mix that they had here.
And a wise coach would
listen
to that.
Time to take a break. Yeah, and they do. And Bill's the same, because I've asked Bill about that as well, and Bill has the same policy. Let's take a break. We'll come back and wrap it up in a moment. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. From the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Okay. Wrap it up here. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Here from the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. One quick note about tomorrow. Tomorrow's show will go from 3 to 4:30 tomorrow because Penn State basketball is into the Big Ten season tomorrow. It'll be a 5 o'clock tip-off at the Jordan Center tomorrow with 5th-ranked Michigan State. It'll be a 4:30 airtime tomorrow. Thus, instead of hearing me calmly talk about the Bill O'Brien situation at this time tomorrow in 24 hours, you'll be hearing me give the Pepsi starting lineups for Penn State and Michigan State at this time. So that'll be a 4:30 airtime tomorrow for the Chesapeake Energy tip-off show with a 5 o'clock tip-off, the Nittany Lions and the 5th-ranked Spartans of Michigan State in the Big Ten opener. One note about Bill O'Brien. And I started with this, I'll close with this. The hardest thing for us to do in today's society of social media, Facebook, Twitter, FaceTime, Skype, whatever it happens to be, and of course anytime we want we can go to the internet and we can go to a message board or we can go to ESPN.com or we can go to SI.com, whatever it happens to be. we always want to know that second. Well, we want to know. We want to know. And sometimes the hardest thing to do is to be patient and to let it play out. Let's be patient. Let's see how it plays out. Then I think we can react one way or the other to what's going on. Okay? The one person we have not heard from at all is Bill O'Brien. At all. Not a syllable. Haven't heard a thing from him. Pro or con. And until I hear from him one way, pro or con, I look at him as the head football coach at Penn State. And whatever decision he decides to make, I obviously will respect. But at the same time, let's see how it plays out. What we know is nowhere near the information that he has or others around him have.
You know, I'm hoping, Steve, that he, when makes his announcement, will call in to 1-800-795-9565 to make that announcement. That would be nice.
Well, last year we had him on.
Yeah.
When we did this, see how it plays out. As anxious as everybody is to find out.
Yep.
Sometimes patience is the hardest part of this, and overreacting is the worst thing you can do.
And as we all know, patience is truly a virtue, and we've sort of lost sight of that in our 24-hour instant news cycle world. And we'll find out soon enough, and life will go on.
Do we have you tomorrow, Bob?
We do not. I am heading to the mountains of north central Pennsylvania.
Happy New Year, my friend.
Happy New Year to you, Steve. I'll be listening to you, though. We're going to change the call letters to WSJS here.
I don't think Roger wants that.
Well, we may have to talk him into it. And you finally recovered fully from the Kevin Herr Friday visit, I can tell.
Well, the longer effect than I thought. I had to pay them by the hour.
Oh, no.
But it was worth it.